Hey guys, it's your girl Steph I Will. I know it's been a minute since you've heard from me, but I am joined today by a lovely guest that I've been wanting to have on the show for a little while now, but finally worked up the courage to go ahead and ask her to come on through. So I have with me tonight Miss Raejean Sawyer. She is the author of Ice Witch, something that you guys have heard me talk about a lot. And I have her on tonight to just talk it up a little bit, definitely about Ice Witch, Rippers, all of that, and anything else that might be on our minds. So how are you doing tonight, Raejean?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you for saying yes. Now, like, I know it sounds a little foolish that I was, you know, beating around the bush to ask you to come on, but I mean, I have my moments where I turn into a little introvert and get a little shy. So yeah. So yes, I'm sorry. I would like to talk about Ice Witch right now. So I read it again.
Okay, no, let's get to it.
Yes, I read it again today. And I just really took a moment to really appreciate the action, because there's a lot. And okay, so a little backstory. In fact, let me let you talk about your character before I go fangirling. So let me be a proper host and just let you tell us about her.
Ice Witch, aka Shanoa Deken. Long story short, she's an assassin, an intergalactic assassin. And there was a point in which she was working for a company called the Raiders. And she was an assassin for them. She was in charge of their assassination squad. And she decided to get married one day, met a wonderful person. They got married, and she had a child. And now that company, the Raiders, they're after her baby. So that's roughly her backstory in a short, cute box.
And yes, it was a short, cute box because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a point in, I believe, Rippers issue 3 where, you know, she's getting ready to give birth and someone's trying to, like, actually go into her tummy and take this baby out, and she's still kicking ass. So, yes. So this is a character that has grown near and dear to my heart. And if you have not picked up Rippers 1, 2, and 3, if you also haven't picked up Ice Witch, like, I highly, highly recommend, especially Ice Witch. There's a lot of action, and that is something that I like a lot of action in my comics. I've actually learned over the past few months. I don't know what it is lately. Maybe it's a mood right now for me, but, you know, comics with a lot going on have just been something I just really gravitated towards. Like I told you, as I was reading, I was thinking of Trina as Baddest Bitch. Like, that was playing in my mind the entire time.
Oh my God. And I love that. I love that because I write to music.
Do
I
you?
Write to music?
It shows.
Yeah, all the books have like a key song, or a key couple of songs. And some of the issues are actually named after songs.
Word.
So music,
okay.
Yeah, it plays a huge role. I mean, for me, for issue 1 of the Ice Witch, and I think I posted this on Twitter once, that if you listen to the mashup between Jay-Z and Linkin Park, their Jigga What / Faint, from beginning to end, you'll finish the book and it'll go right along with the book. The music actually goes right along with every single scene and all that great stuff.
Add that to my list of things to do tonight. Adding that to my list. No, I mean, I appreciate, because, like, actually when I read comics, I try to listen to stuff like I've listened to already 100 times. So it can just kind of be background noise and I can actually focus on what I'm reading. But I definitely do that. And yeah, I definitely was doing that as I was reading Ice Witch. So yes. I was telling you before we came on that I was reading some old Misty Knight. Mm. And yeah. And unfortunately, I read some Misty Knight after I read Like I said, I read Ice Witch again this morning, and I read some Misty Knight afterwards. And whoo, Miss Raging, I just wish that you could I don't know, write for all of the Marvel characters because like I mean, no, because I know more about Ice Witch that I know about Misty Knight, and she has been out for 40 plus years. And that's something that just really dawned on me today. Like, she has no, you don't ever get anything about Misty except for bits and pieces of her over the 40-year run. And that's the problem that I found. Never read an indie comic and then jump and read the Vic 2 because it's like a slap in the face every single time.
Oh
And
my
I do it
gosh.
to myself every single time because on Wednesdays when new comics are out, I always have like, you know, my couple of the Vic 2 that I do purchase, like their titles, and then I have some indie. I always either try something new or just like a run that's going on. So, and I always make the mistake of reading the indie first and then reading the big two, and every single time it's a slap in my mouth.
Oh my gosh. You know, I can't speak for Marvel, but I know when I create characters, I really go in depth with them because I want something that the readers can resonate with, and something that I resonate with, something that I can enjoy. And I actually do enjoy reading my books. You know, I'm able to separate myself to a certain extent. There are certain points I'm like, whoa, why did I do that? Like, what in the world? But I wanted to write things that I enjoy. So for creating Ice Witch in particular, when I was creating her, I was thinking just of a female character who was of color, who was a black woman, whose main thing was protecting her child. Because for us as readers, a lot of times we don't get to see that. We don't get to see the real superhero of the world, which is women taking care of their babies. I mean, those are the real superheroes in my mind. And
Has
that's something
cell
that
phone
I,
back?
yeah, like it's like that's something that I wanted to see. And it's the most natural thing in the world. I've seen men protecting their children in comics. If guys, anybody is familiar with like Shogun's Assassin, that movie as well as the comic that it's based off of. But I didn't see anything with women, so that's how Ice Witch sort of came about. I had already started work on the Rippers, and I was just like, well, I want something else. I want something else in that universe, but a little bit different. The Rippers is about this bounty hunter, and she's working for the government. And then it's like, okay, well, what's going on in the other side of the government? What's going on the side of the criminal side? And so I just started to play with it. And before you know it, here was Ice Witch. And I said, okay, how can we get deeper into the character? What's going on in her head? What's going on in her mind? What's going on in her body? And that's when I decided to start working on an offshoot novel. And so I'm also working on that, and that'll probably be ready next year, as along with issue two of Ice Witch. And that just goes into sort of the story deeper of how she got into her predicament. When you see her in issue two of the Rippers for the first time, and then when you see her again in issue one of Ice Witch. So I just wanted a nice, well-rounded, in-depth character.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you honestly almost, you pretty much got that now, and we've only seen her for like 3 issues, so no, thank you. Now, and the funny thing is that as I was reading Ice Witch issue one, I thought of like if Vernita Green had actually beat Beatrix, so Kill Bill, and so like if we would have gotten that story instead or something, like something to that degree, because I was just thinking about that. I don't know random why I was thinking about that today, but I was just like, you know, why haven't we gotten something like a Kill Bill-esque type of movie starring a black woman? And not because, you know, we oh, I forgot we can be angry, I forgot all about that, but what if we could? What if people actually allowed us to, you know, have motive to be angry because someone has taken your child and you are looking for your child? Like, why can we not have that? So that's another thing that popped up as I was reading. So there's a lot going on, or maybe I'm just doing a lot because I'm craving a lot. But no, thank you. Because I forgot to tell you that. Like, I thought of that too. So, yes. So, actually, let's talk a little bit more about the world of the Rippers. Do you mind expanding on that just a little bit more?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay, so the Rippers is about Rhiannon O'Care. She's a bounty hunter working for this government called the ICA, the Intergalactic Confederated Alliance. And there's 150 planets in this solar system. And this bounty hunter unit helps to protect it from this company or criminal organization called the Raiders. So she's one of their government commissioned bounty hunters, and she is accused of a crime she doesn't remember committing, and that crime is killing her boss. So she's accused of killing her boss, and when you first see her in issue one, she's sitting in prison trying to remember what exactly happened that led her to be in prison. And issue two goes into more of that as well. She's exploring that. And then once you get to issue three, we get her away from like her thoughts and trying to get her memories together. And we go into a very, very crazy situation mm-hmm. that happens in the prison. And that's when you see more of Shanoa Duquesne, a.k.a. Ice Witch. And she has a pretty cool role in issue three. And you'll see more of her throughout the Rippers, especially for the next about 6 issues.
Okay.
You'll continuously see her. And spoiler alert, once you get to issue 8, I'll just say it. Once you get to issue 8, that's when issue 1 of Ice Witch kicks off.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
As to ever-growing reading list.
Yes.
No, thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
You know what? I don't know what I'm doing tonight. I've obviously not had enough coffee because, you know what? Even though I know the story because I've heard it, because I've listened to everything you've been on, and also from the Fat Woman the comics over the summer. But actually, can you please tell our guests, our listeners, what inspired you to, you know, write comics? What's your driving force? You know, actually, your origin story. So what is Miss Raging Sawyer's origin story?
Okay, well, I've been a collector of comics since I was about 6 or 7 years old. And even before then, my father, he would read the Sunday funnies to me. And my brother and I, we would watch The Hulk, The Greatest American Hero, Wonder Woman. And he then introduced me to mainstream comics. He introduced me to X-Men, and he first introduced me to X-Men through this a video game through the original Nintendo. And I was just in awe. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool with all the little 8-bit figurines. I was just so cool. You know, it was so archaic when you think about it now, but I loved it. I loved the theme music. I loved everything. I loved Storm. It was Mohawk Storm. It was great. I loved it. I still love that little video game. So from there, he was like, oh, well, if you really like the video game, let me get you some comics. So we started reading classic X-Men. So I read a lot of the old X-Men books, like from the 70s, that were reprinted for the like early 90s, late 80s. And I continued with that collection. And then I started getting the regular Uncanny X-Men, and then the secondary X-Men that they put out. Secondary book, and I just kept going from there. My collection kept growing, and then in my head I was like, well, I like stories too. I like characters. Let me create my own. So I just started drawing things out and started writing my own stories, and I just continued with that through high school. And from making my own stories, my own comic book stories as well as prose stories, I started applying for scholarships for college and whatnot. And actually, through my writing, I got a few scholarships. But once I got to college, I sort of put comics to the side. Not the collecting so much, but the writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, okay, time to buckle down. Have to get a real job. Got to do all that adult stuff, yada yada yada. And unfortunately, like I said, you know, I put the creativity to the side to a certain extent. And then once I got into my career, which I've been a corporate food service manager for 12 years, and I was in the middle of my career, in the midst of it, back in late 2006, and I was saying to one of my friends, like, you know, you only live once. Like, I think I really want to do something with comics. I think I might want to get a secondary bachelor's or something. I'm not sure. And I was talking to her in a comic book shop, and a gentleman overheard me, and he said, well, why don't you show me what you have, because I actually have an independent company. Mm-hmm. So from there, I started working with him. I was his managing editor for a while. I transcribed all of his handwritten scripts, as well as edited them. I helped to hire artists, found artists, reviewed submissions, got convention tables for his company at shows. And then one day I said, you know what, I can do this for myself. I can do this for me. So I left that company and I started Lock It Down Productions in late 2007. And so I've been doing this, I can't believe it. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been doing this for 10 years and have had Lock It Down Productions for 9, which is so bananas to me. So absolutely bananas, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy with what I've been able to do. And then 4.5 years ago, I started the Women in Comics Collective. And that's an organization that helps promote and propel women within the comic book industry. And we have 130 some odd members across the world. And we have a ton of members in the United States. And we have our own Comic Con called Wing Con. And we host workshops, panel discussions, art shows, the whole gamut. So I stay kind of busy.
Yeah, you do. you do.
I stay kind of busy.
But it's so inspiring, though. I mean, just for the simple fact that, you know, all of this, I'm not saying all of this came from that discussion at the comic shop, but that's just crazy how, you know, the guy, he overheard you and then, boom, bam, Lock It Down Productions came. That's crazy. And just a testament that, you know, we do get sidetracked by life, but that is no reason to, you know, kind of let that, you know, totally make you forget your dreams and your aspirations. So, oh, wow. Okay. Add that to vision board. So, because I didn't know that part. Yeah, no, I didn't know that part. Yeah. I'm adding that to my 2017 vision board. No, that is seriously inspiring, Regine. So, no, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So what, I guess, I don't know, got the fire in you to start the Women's in Comics Collective?
Well, what's interesting about that is I was asked to do a panel discussion. I was asked to host it. For a convention called Bronx Heroes Comic Con by the organizer, Ray Felix. And when he asked me, I'm like, Ray, I don't think I can do it. You sure? I don't know. Me? He's like, yeah, you totally can do it. What are you talking about? So I said, okay, I'll see what I can do. Let me see if I can find some ladies. You know, I knew a few at the time, but I didn't know a lot. And he knew some. He knew a good amount of women, actually. So we put this panel together, and it went really well. The response from the audience was great. The panelists themselves, they were very appreciative of having the chance to talk about what goes on in the industry with women, particularly with women of color, and also talk about their careers and what they've done. But what struck me the deepest was the fact that one of the panelists had said to me, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for many years, and no one ever invites me to these things. And it really broke my heart. It really broke my heart, especially since the person had been in the industry for, at the time, 13 years, and to not just for someone to reach out to, not even so much for you want recognition or a pat on the back, it's just for someone to acknowledge your experience. And that just, again, it broke my heart. So I said to a couple of them, well, let's see what we can do. Maybe we'll do some more stuff. We'll see what happens. And then before you know it, I guess people saw us and heard about what we had done with this panel, and they started asking us to come to different things. Can you have a panel here? Can you have a panel there? And before you know it, we had a collective. We started with 8 women, and then now we have 130 some odd across the world, which is just, it was just crazy. I mean, things just started happening organically. Yeah, we had one panel, then another. Then someone asked if you want to do an art show. I said, okay. And then after the art shows sort of took off, people started asking, well, do you do workshops? Can you come to our school? Can you come to this program? And I had never done a workshop before in my life. And I said, yes. I was like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm right. going to figure it out. And like I said, before you know it, we have more members. We have a full workshop series, full panel discussion series, a traveling art show, and now we have a convention. I mean, it's really mind-boggling. It's really mind-boggling in the most wonderful, blessed way. So I'm just appreciative of the opportunities that we get, but I'm more appreciative of the people that come to see us. We're about servicing our community first and foremost. Particularly the communities, the marginalized communities that don't get to go to big cons. They can't afford it. Tickets sell out very quickly at these large shows. And a lot of times kids and their families, they don't get an opportunity to meet creators, especially if kids have an interest in being an artist or a writer or a publisher. And there are some adults that have those aspirations too, and they don't get a chance to speak to anyone who's in the industry. So what we do is we go in, we talk to people, we do the workshops, panel discussions, and people get to ask us questions. They get to sit down with us for a good amount of time as compared to going to a large convention where there's usually like a lot of hustle and bustle and rush. And don't get me wrong, we love the large conventions. We've done panel discussions at San Diego Comic-Con, panel discussions at New York Comic-Con. We love them to death. But it's so wonderful just to be in a local library and just to get to talk to people one-on-one and stay and chat. So it's really such a blessing. And we're very proud of what we do.
And I'm pretty sure everyone is very appreciative. I know that I am. And hopefully if I'm nearby or I'll make a trip out to come to one of your panels or something, because I'm getting a little jealous listening. So there was one that was posted on the Black Girl Nerds podcast recently. I believe that's the one from New York Comic Con, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I was listening in the car, and as I was enjoying it, I was like, damn, you know, I just should have took my behind to New York. So what happened today? Today they had the Star Wars. It was the Q&A, Ask the Rogue One Q&A, and it's not the panelists, but the guys on some of the guys on the panel, like nasally white guys, and that's usually that's usually all we get, because I think they're the only people qualified for it or something. But it's always, that's why it's so nice, refreshing to have, to see women and also women of color just, you know, up shooting a breeze and talking about, you know, what they do, their success in what they do. And no, like, you need to see that. Like, you need to hear that. Even if it's something that you're not even trying to go into, let's say, comics, or you don't want to be an artist or a writer or whatever, like, you can still draw inspiration out of that, seeing someone else like you doing what they're doing and, you know, going after, you know, their dreams and stuff. So, no, appreciative. And I know I'm fangirling, but I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, that's why we do it. That's why we do it. I mean, there's so many times where I'm sitting at my booth and a parent will come up with their child, or the child will be hiding behind them, and they'll say, please talk to my daughter. She doesn't think that, you know, girls do comics, and she draws all the time, or she writes all the time. And a lot of times, it's a young black girl, a young Latina girl, and sometimes a young white girl.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm so happy just to see parents supportive, because I know that there is a fear that, okay, my kid wants to draw comics, they want to be an artist, they're going to be living in my basement forever. I understand. the concern. I get it. I understand. But it's really wonderful to see the encouragement. So no, we do it for you guys. We appreciate you.
Yeah, so guys, if you see that, you know, the Women Comics Collective is, you know, in a city near you or whatever, go support, learn something, ask questions, especially just, I'm asking you to do it just because I can't at the moment, but no, definitely check it out. All right, Regine, well, I don't know if I want to be getting to some shade with you.
Oh, no. Let's see. Depends on what type of shade you're talking about. Let's see what you're talking about.
Well, now the last time I spoke with you, this was over the summer, and this is before Miss Riri Williams made her debut.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know, you know, have you checked that out, or is it something that you...
Have I picked up the book?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't even know it was out. It's out? No, I'm sorry.
You know what? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the night.
No, I'm really serious. You know, I saw all, like, look, man, look.
You are a busy woman, so.
When we talked about it. Back in the summer when we talked about it and we talked about, the whole controversy or what have you in regards to the fact that people were unaware that there are Black women working in comics, that write comics, you know, and I did write an article for Graphic Policy about that. And then fast forward to this fall where all the different covers came out and there was such a huge hubbub about that, as you well know.
Oh, you know I know.
You know. I didn't purposely not pick up the book or check it out. What I can say is... Steph, stop it. What I can say is my whole thing is that the content of the book should be on point, just in general. Mm-hmm. In general, if we're going to write stories, we want to write good stories. We do want stories that are to a certain extent culturally relevant. We want stories that, yes, have a young Black woman in it that looks like a young Black woman. We want those things. We want things that relate to our experiences and to who we are as marginalized people. And we have a right to question content sometimes. I mean, we have a right to do it, especially as fans and as professionals. Because we want top quality product and we have a right to demand it because companies want our money.
Yeah.
Companies want our money. And we spend a lot of it as people of color, as Black people. We spend a lot of money. So I think it's important that companies bear in mind their audience. I think that's very important. But no, I did not pick up the book, not on purpose. I just forgot that it was coming out.
No, no, I'm not going to mess with you. I know you legit did. I know you legit did.
I really did. I mean, I picked up World of Wakanda. One of our members, I love her so, so, so much. Aletha E. Martinez is drawing the World of Wakanda book. So when it comes to my ladies, Women of Comics ladies, I support them. They get my money.
They
get my money. So there's nothing against Marvel per se, but it's those things are important. So I knew World of Wakanda was coming out.
I did too, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've yet to actually tell anybody my thoughts on the first issue of Ironheart for a reason, because I'm still steeped in a lot of bias. And it didn't help that I read, Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan. I went back and reread that series for, I don't know why. I just, I was on something that weekend. I felt like it. This is a really great story. But I went back and I read it, and I got to stop doing that. I got to stop reading stuff prior to reading other stuff. No, because...
Don't do that.
Because, well, then I'm going to remain jaded.
You know why? You know why? Because I know for me, when I sometimes judge comic book competitions.
Yeah.
And awards and stuff. And there are times when you're reading books and you're fully engrossed in books, and then especially when you're like reading for a competition, you know, something has to stand out to you in order to get somebody an award, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm like fully engrossed in a book and then I go to the next book and I'm like, what in the hell is this? Like, I have a right to say that. No,
you're right.
I have a right to say, well, content-wise, if you're not judging a competition, you're reading for pleasure, but it's still the same process. You read one thing and you're fully enthralled with it, and you read the next thing, and it's like, who pulled this out of whatever crack? You know, you have a right to question the content, especially when you're spending money on it.
And you are preaching to the choir right now, but for whatever reason, it just seems as though, you know, when you bring these questions up and you do question a little bit, like, I'm just going to say, you know, Ms. Marvel is great. And I know it's great because G. Willow Wilson is writing for her. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why it's great. Because there's little things that only she has, she would know, right? Culturally.
Yeah.
And there's little nuggets here and there. Like there was in Luke Cage of Blackness, right? There, it's there. And you get to, and even though that's not my upbringing, that's not who I am, that's not who I am culturally. Like when I was reading Ms. Marvel, like I was able to look at it and appreciate those little things. Like, I think there's a point in the comic where, I forgot the white girl's name, but she says something actually pretty racist, like, you smell like curry or something like that. But, like, I've heard those microaggressions before of other people that are Indian by someone that was, either white or, mostly white, say things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with those microaggressions. I guess as marginalized people, like we can pick up on other microaggressions here and there.
Absolutely.
And I was able to, like, I appreciate that small little taste of, well, this is what I may have experienced growing up. And I was able to appreciate this character much more. That is why with Miss Riri Williams, that's lacking. Just like it's also kind of lacking a little bit with Lunella Lafayette, whom I do actually like the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur comic. Mm-hmm. But that's because I approached it reading it like an Archie comic. And that's probably why I've been able to enjoy it, because I don't know why I approached it that way. But because I did, I've been able to, you know, enjoy it. But there has been little things that I picked up on that I'm just like, oh, no, this could be better if it was written from somebody who actually possibly had this lived experience. So,
I mean, in that, a lot of times people don't want to discuss that aspect in the sense that as a writer, like theoretically, you're supposed to be able to write anything.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able just to create freely, and everything's great and rainbows. But when writing certain things, you should do research, especially if it's not a lived experience. I'm not going to totally say don't write it, but if you do write it, you have to be absolutely 100% sincere when you're writing it. And if you feel like something is off the mark, or you know for a fact that as you're writing something, it's off the mark, whether it's culturally or racially, or in terms of gender, you need to find you somebody that will check you.
Yes, ma'am.
You need someone that will say, no, don't write that. Don't you write that. I mean, literally, you really do. No, because I have friends that are in the industry that are sometimes are not writing from a lived experience. They can sort of sympathize, but they can't necessarily empathize with certain aspects. But they want to know. They want to know, like, look, Regine, is this okay? Is this all right? Like, I don't want to be offensive. I'm trying to convey this. What do you think I should do? And I don't mind giving that advice, because it's coming from a sincere place. Like, I don't want to screw up. I don't want to screw
no,
up.
No, right.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That tells me that you care about the content. You care about what you're writing. Yes, you're making money, but you care about it. You have a heart for it. If you're just slapping stuff together and say, hey, buy this, it is a problem to a certain extent. It is it's an issue.
And it
it's
shows.
I feel you.
Yeah. And it shows. And no, thank you for telling me about, you know, go ahead and continue to do as I've been doing. And that's been, because I don't know, I felt guilty sometimes when I'm comparing comics, but no, you're right. Because if one thing is grabbing my attention, then I move on and I'm reading something else. And I'm just like, so what side of the bed did you roll out of? And did you run out of ink? Like, because it's been a lot of times where I've read stuff and I'm just like, oh, no, this is not living up to code. And there's no shade to, you know, the writer might just not be my cup of tea, but
absolutely, it too.
Yeah, that could definitely be it as well. But yeah, so I'm going to continue to do that, and I will.
Don't feel guilty at all.
No, I won't feel guilty. But if it gets me in trouble, I'm definitely going to hit you up. Like, yeah. So remember what you told me. Please come get these people out of my mentions, please.
Yes. A giant, you know, F off, like, leave her alone, buy a book somewhere else.
Right.
Don't worry about what she thinks. As long as you like the book, it doesn't matter. Find a life, find a hole, you know, and just that's it. Get out of here.
Right, because I just, like, you know, leave me, let me be. But, no, yeah. All right. Well, that actually makes me feel a lot better, because I was legit feeling a little guilty about that, but that makes me feel better.
Oh, absolutely not.
Mm-mm. All right, well, I think that's enough shadiness. I was going to ask you about Ghost in the Shell, but I know your feelings on that.
Oh, my gosh, please.
I mean, unless you want to get that off of your chest, you are more than welcome to, especially with Miss ScarJo talking about, you know, there needing to be more diversity in Hollywood. And I'm like, but girl, what did you?
Well, let me
go ahead. You know, the floor is yours.
Okay, I'll give a minute to this.
All right.
There was a point in time where, here in America, the American film industry, they would do remakes of movies of foreign films. Mm-hmm. Right. They would do remakes, and they would. You knew it was like a foreign film, but it was the American version, and it wouldn't be bastardized. It would be Americanized, yes, but it wouldn't be bastardized. It wouldn't be mocking other cultures. It wouldn't necessarily even mention the previous culture that had the original movie. They would just take the movie and Americanize it. For me, with the issue of Ghost in the Shell, not to say that I would necessarily want to see an American version of Ghost in the Shell, but I would respect it.
Yeah.
I would respect it because it would be us. It would be us. It wouldn't be us mocking another culture. And that's my issue, because I remember watching La Femme Nikita, the French film, and then seeing the American version, Point of No Return. And there were differences in the movies. They did different things culturally, as also what probably they thought would be better for the American audience. So, I mean, I still liked both movies, just in a different way. So that's what escapes me. Even Let the Right One In, the German vampire film,
mm-hmm.
and then in the American version was Let Me In. I like both of them equally, and they both had their own cultural standpoints and whatnot, but they didn't mock anybody. And this, to me, is a mockery. It's like, if you're gonna do it, do an Americanized film, or don't do it at all. I'm off the soapbox.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not gonna go stand on it, but no, that's actually an excellent point. And No, I didn't. I thought about it, but I didn't really think about it in those terms. But no, you're right. Because I've seen movies that have, you know, the foreign version and then the American version. And I was still able to appreciate both stories because one was in its lane and the other one was also in its lane, but they were just driving the same vehicle. That's all. But they stayed in their lanes. Yeah. So no, that is an excellent point. But unfortunately, with Ghost in the Shell, they kept the Japanese culture, but you know, left the Japanese people out,
Yeah,
which
I wanted to cry when I saw that trailer. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
and it actually looks nice. Like I will give them that. The trailer actually,
Yeah.
the aesthetics actually look very nice. But I
Yeah.
just, if she could stay clear the whole time, maybe. But even still, like, no. And then
Yeah.
I just, I'm new to Ghost in the Shell. Like I heard of it before growing up, but it was just something I hadn't really watched. And I most recently saw the actual, the anime, the movie, maybe earlier this year or last year. I know it was for a Saturday Night Sci-Fi that Geek Brother Soul does, and I had seen it for the first time, and I was like, man, one, why the hell did I wait so long to watch this? And then two, what a wonderfully, beautifully done story. Like I
Yes, it
is,
was beautiful.
it's I mean, it's so good. That's why it just kind of breaks my heart that, you know, I'm not gonna see this play out live because I just have no interest. Like I still haven't even seen Doctor Strange. And I'm one of those people that are like first there for the Marvel movies the day that they come out. But no, like I just had no interest.
I didn't see it yet either, but I want to see it. I want to go. I don't know when.
Yeah, I don't know when
But I
either.
want to go.
Jokingly
I
said
want
on
to go.
Twitter like I would go when it was at the $2 show, but maybe not. Maybe not even. I mean, really shady, but no, I just have no, thank you. I'm
It's
good.
okay. No, it's okay. You control those dollars. Don't,
Yes.
you know.
And I'm, you know what? You are right about that. And unfortunately, after this election and what has happened, I am really,
Oh my
really
God.
looking at my dollars with a lot more, I don't know, conviction. I don't know. I'm just looking at my dollars now and I'm
Absolutely.
just like, it's going to be very, 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 it was always important, but it's going to be supremely important in these next 4 years, cringe,
Yes. Oh my God.
to support what you and your heart feel needs to be supported, especially stories from people of color, because they are going to be needed in the worst of ways over the next 4 years. Because, I mean, if tickets were on sale right now for Black Panther, I would have bought them. Would have bought them already.
That's in a year and a half.
I know, and I'm over here
2018.
extra thirsty to see that movie, especially with Angela Bassett now being attached to the film.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I was already sold, but that just, I'm like, you know, if I could, I'd go camp out now, but I won't be that. I'll wait. So yes, and if Ice Witch ever makes it, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there, not putting pressure on you, but if we get an on-screen version of this, I will be there for that. No, seriously, I will be there for that because that will be the Kill Bill that I got in another parallel universe where Quentin Tarantino did not exist and a black woman who had a little bit of Quentin Tarantino style to her actually went ahead and said, "You know what? Kill Bill, instead of her Beatrix, her name is Keep,
Benita.
yeah, Vernita. Yes, Vernita Green. We
Benita.
give Vernita Green's story. We do. We find out, you know, who her husband is and, you know, why she had a gun in a cereal box. All that. We find that out. So, yes. Actually, you know what? What they should do, or someone should, and I'm just going to put that out there, the little girl, I would like to see her come back and, you know, figure that out. So,
Yeah, they've been
yes.
saying that for years. They've been toying around with that to
Word?
do
Okay.
a third, to do a third film. But who knows? Who knows? I think he should. He says that he's retiring. Quentin says that he's retiring, but who knows? Maybe he'll put that out for us.
Maybe he will. Yeah, he just stay in his lane and like leave Luke Cage alone and definitely just focus on
Oh,
that.
he's gonna be directing Luke Cage?
No. He had words about Luke Cage. He felt as though he
Oh.
could have done a better
Oh, stop it.
better
Stop it.
job.
Stop.
And actually, I never got a chance to ask you. What did you? I know you finished the series, of course, but right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I totally did. Yeah.
So do you want to? So what did you think?
I really enjoyed Luke Cage.
Yay!
I really enjoyed it. It was. I mean, it was very. It was just. It was very interesting. Just to see. It was very interesting. To see just so many Black people in different Black roles.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, did I just say Black roles?
You did, but you know, it's fine. We know what you meant. I know what you meant. I know what you meant. But no, clarify, just in case somebody comes and you're, well, actually. Roles. Okay, gotcha.
Different roles. Let me clear up. So sorry. I don't know how that rolled out of my mouth. But different.
This is how Black it was.
You don't normally see. Yeah. That's how Black it was. Blackity Black. It's the blackest ever. Show I've ever seen. Just to see villains and female villains.
Yes.
Not only female villains, but older women who are just in control of themselves and control of their sexuality.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
pretty dope. And to see us in different avenues of power.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the police department. We're captains. You know, we're sergeants. We're also congresswomen, you know, we do so much stuff. So it was really, just really, really awesome to see that. Also seeing the actor from Luke Cage, he's gorgeous. So I was happy for that fact alone. that was great. That was great.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a blessing.
That was great. And the cinematography and the music, I mean, you could just live.
Yes.
In that screen, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm very much a New Yorker. You probably could hear it in my voice. I'm very, very much a New Yorker. So to see certain areas, like, I know that. I walk down that block. Oh my God, I mean, I see that in the other Marvel shows, like, you know, Jessica, what's her name?
Ooh.
Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't being funny.
I know. Let me stop messing with you, Rachel.
I'm like, yeah, that's Hell's Kitchen, whatever. Yeah, okay, that's, you know, that's that area. But it was just, Luke Cage was awesome. That's it. It was awesome.
Yes, and I mean, you guys know how I feel about it, but yes, okay. Well, I just, another Luke Cage lover, so of course. I mean, I honestly don't know how you couldn't like it, but I know there are some people that don't. And that's totally fine. Different strokes for different folks, but yes. And I was just thinking, like, as Black as Luke Cage was, I don't know if I'm ready for Black Panther. Like, I don't know in my spirit if I'm ready, because yeah. That is going to be, yeah, because we're getting, I would hope, some, you know, Wakanda. We're going to get to see that brought to life and just in Africa and just the beauty in that. So I don't know. I don't think I'm ready. I honestly do not think I'm ready. I'm not ready. No, I'm not. I'm going to be totally passed out. You're ready?
I'm ready because, you know, when I went to San Diego Comic Con this year and I saw Chadwick Boseman on the con floor and I saw him, I was like, oh my God, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. I'm like screaming. I'm like, Will, me and my one of my friends and her husband on screen, Black Panther's so lit! Black Panther!
I love it.
We're like screaming, and he's like smiling. He's like so happy. He's like looking at us smiling. And I'm chasing him with my camera. Like, that was my fangirl moment. Like, I usually don't have many.
That's so cool.
Like, I don't have many. So it's like for that, so I could have that moment. And then the year prior, I met Ryan Coogler.
Ooh.
With Jamie from Black Girl Nerds. Like, we actually hung out with him. So to meet this man and be able to sit and chat with him the year before and really, like, chat, like, not, like, even for 5 minutes, like, chat. I gave him my comic books.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Y'all sat down.
Yeah. And then so to see where he's going with his career and everything, like, it's just absolutely flooring and amazing. So I'm ready to go out and spend my dollars, get my Black Panther shirt. I mean, I wasn't even a Black Panther fan, you know, beforehand. Like, I never really read the books. So I'm ready. I'm totally ready. Let's go. Let's see, give me some more black. Give me some more black. I'm ready for it.
I got to get myself together because, like, I just don't want to be out somewhere passed out. So I just got to have to get the strength because I know I'll be able to handle it, but I just feel like it just, I just feel like my fro will, like, grow 3 times as big and I'll have to, like, get myself together. So I'm, you know, I take back, I'm ready, but yeah, I'm so here for it too. All right,
with everything going on in the country, I think we'll need it.
Oh, girl. we'll need it by some. Yes. In fact, the night that that incident happened, that he who shall not be named, not on my podcast, the night that I woke up and I realized he had won, unfortunately, it was 2 things I thought about. One, what the hell did y'all do? And then two, like, damn. So we really do need Black Panther. So somebody knew. Somebody knew that we were going to need that in 2018. So, I'm very ready. All right. Well, Miss Regine, I would like to ask you, is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners? Do you have anything else coming up? Where can they find you on the interwebs? All that jazz.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I have a couple of websites. I have lockitdown.com. That's LOCKETT.com. If you want to know more about Women in Comics and what we do, any events we're doing, the website is womenincomicscollective.org. I'm on Twitter. I'm at lockitdown. I'm also at Women in Comics NY. What else? Instagram, WINC NYC, that's Wink NYC, as in Women in Comics NYC. Check out our Instagram. I'll be doing a few conventions starting in the new year. First and foremost, the Black Comic Book Festival at the Schomburg Center in Harlem on January, I believe it's the 13th and the 14th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Soon after, Women in Comics Con, of course, in the Bronx, in New York City, in March. That'll be March 25th. Also, I'll be doing BSAM New York in April. And what else? There's New York Comic Con, of course, San Diego Comic Con, of course, ECBOC, East Coast Black Asia Comic Creators in Philadelphia in May.
Ooh, okay.
I have a lot of shows lined up, but the roster always changes. It always usually increases. So I'll be around Women in Comics. We have a lot of events that are going to be coming up, and not just on the Women in Comics Con. So definitely check out the website for that. And yeah, I'm around. You know, shoot me a line, email me. I'm here. Tweet me.
Of course. As always. And actually, the one that you have going on in Philly, that might be one that I'll be able to make. So I'll let you know. Yeah. Yes. Anything about that. So yeah. Okay. Write that down on list as well. I need to talk to you more often because you actually have me using my little list. So I'm definitely be tweeting you so I can act like I'm busy. So yes, but thank you so much for coming on the show, joining Shooting the Breeze with me, being a tad bit shady, even though I know you were being for real, but that was just me doing what I do best. So yes, but no, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that has been this episode of The Lemonade. I promise that starting in 2017, we will be going on a bi-weekly schedule. I finally got my life together. And also, if you haven't already, check out Let Go, Let Flow, a girlfriend's appreciation pod with me and Etliz, the movie girl, that will continue to be ongoing until, I don't know, until we finish that series. We'll see. But so I will catch you all later. Peace out.